For the next few minutes, I'd like to share with you some thoughts that I've had for some time now, going back to when we had the class in the senior high class as well as in our adult class on love, marriage, and problems or reasons for divorce. It's also fitting with the theme that the elders have established this year in that of service. The title of the lesson tonight is Selflessness. Let's serve rather than being served. And as I thought about this topic more as this day has approached, you know, the idea of selflessness, we all can comprehend that pretty well. I mean, that's a pretty simple topic. However, as you think about applying that to our lives on a daily basis, in every circumstance, it becomes a very difficult thing to actually put into place. And it's an attribute that we are, each of us as Christians, are to have if we are to be like Christ. So what I'd like to do tonight, I'd like to challenge each of us to self-examine, to think about in our lives this idea of being selfless. What I'd like to do is I'd like to talk about just two areas: our selflessness towards or with our brethren, and then look at selflessness with relationship to our spouse. And then I'll conclude with some conclusions there. There's a lot of other areas that we could go into, and we could look at every relationship that we have and talk about the characteristics that we should have with respect to selflessness. We could think about our relationship at work when we're talking about technical things with our partners at work. You know, do I just want to have my way, therefore I'm going to argue that point to the death? Or do we try to come to a common understanding as the best approach forward? That's the idea that I'd like to share with you tonight. We wear the name of Christ. Thus, we need to be like Him in this characteristic as well. We see in Philippians, the second chapter, that we are to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ. This word selfishness here is from the Greek word erethia, meaning selfishness. It has the idea of, from vines, as faction, ambition, self-seeking, rivalry, seeking to win followers. So when we get into a discussion and we don't get our way, do we seek followers to get on our side so that we can persuade the others to come to our side? That's the idea that this word is bringing about. Note that in James, the third chapter, the word is translated selfish ambition. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. So it's a pretty serious trait to have when we are found not to be selfless, when we have the characteristic of having selfishness in our heart. We sing a song from time to time, "None of Self and All of Thee." It's relationship to God, but it starts off "All of Self," and then second verse is "Some of Self and Some of Thee," and "Less of Self and More of Thee." And then it ends up where we need to be, which is "None of Self and All of Thee." And that's the relationship we're to have with our God. And that's the trait that Jesus showed to us. And we are to exhibit that in our relationships with others. This next, I'm going to flip to the next thing I'm going to show you is a video. This video clip is of two little girls. And the reason I show you this clip is because we train our children from the very earliest age when they are in the first relationships that they have. What do we train them? Not to be selfish. Share. I want you to share. And sometimes as adults, we tend to go back to those childish ways. And so what I'd like for you to notice, if I make the technology work for me tonight, in this clip, how, you know, you look at this and the little girl on the left starts crying and she looks up for aid from others. Somebody come to my side and help me out here. And then the girl on the right is the one that takes the coloring book away. Look at both sides of that. And I hope you get the point of what I'm trying to get to, that there's selfishness on both sides if you look at this, okay?
I'm done. Okay. I'm done. Okay. And I'm done. Yes, fine.
I hope you got the point of that. You notice the little girls, you know, they're sitting there, and one wants to, they're doing really well to start with, and then the one girl says, "Well, I want to color the snowman." Another girl says, "No, I want to color the snowman." So she pulls it over, and then she looks for aid. She's trying to get other people to come to her side. And we have to be careful that we don't train, and then we lose the sight of that as we grow older and really exhibit those kinds of characteristics. So selfishness with brothers and sisters in Christ. God has blessed us with gifts to serve one another. Look at a couple of passages. Romans, the second chapter. 12th chapter. Verse 3. "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." And then 1 Peter 4. We read that we are to live for the will of God in verse 2. And then we are to love one another, serve one another, and to serve as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. Starting in verse 8, or just read with me, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and forever." Greg spoke this morning about glorifying God through our generosity in our service to one another. He talked not only with our monetary, our money, but also with our time, and that we are to serve one another, and that is glorifying God. Isn't this really... I skipped a slide, didn't I? Yeah. Isn't this really just the attribute of love? You know, we read in 1 Corinthians 13, "Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own." And in verse 11, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. And so when we were children, then we our attributes were that of, we had to be learned, we had to be taught not to be selfish. In 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, we read of the liberty that one has. We have an example here of the extent we should go in seeking the best interest of our brother and sister in Christ, in displaying the characteristics of Christ, in being selfless. Even Paul knew that the meats that were being offered to idols here were nothing. But notice what Paul says. He says, "For through your knowledge he who is weak is ruined, the brother for whose sake Christ died, and so by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience, when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble." You see, in a perfect Christian society, we are all seeking to be unified in our service to God. Our desire is to do what God wills. And so we work together to come to that common conclusion. There are times when we have even doctrinal issues that come up, and we may think that we have it right, that it's exactly black and white to me, that's the answer, don't anybody question me on that. Well, another brother comes along and says, "Well, have you considered this?" You know, and if I don't consider that, then I'm not looking at the whole picture. Because our desire is to come to that one common understanding of what God has for us to do. So, when we have an issue that comes up and we both can agree that doing it this way is absolutely right, do I continue on and say, "Well, I want to do it this way, regardless of my brother?" And the answer should be no. I'll do away. Paul says, "I won't eat meats again. I'll never eat meats again if it's going to cause my brother to stumble," because he knows that not eating meats is okay too, right? Just like eating meats was okay. But the attitude we have is one that we will go to the extent of not causing our brother to stumble and to seek to a common understanding of what God's will is for us. Now, that can take some time. And on some cases, it can take a long time. But we keep striving to do that and going to God's Word and studying together anew each time to understand what God would have us to do in each particular place. Let's look at the second area where selflessness is extremely important. That is with our spouse. Many intermarriage and start families with selfish attitudes. Others become more selfish after they get married because now I've got my partner. I can be more selfish, is the thought of some. Yet no relationship can exist peacefully and lovingly with selfish participants on either side. It needs to be selflessness on both sides. Almost any problem in a relationship has its basis in selflessness or lack of agape love, like we talked about in 1 Corinthians 13. Consider the top reasons for divorce. And you can look at the list there. Infidelity. Communication breakdowns in relationship. Abuse. And you can go down the list. All of these has some basis in being selfish. Not seeking the best interest of the other. In Bible times, arranged marriages were common, where you didn't know the person that you were going to be married. And in Titus 2, we read that the older women were to admonish the younger women to love their husbands. What that means is love can be learned. It's not something that I just fall out of. I hear those saying, well, the reasons for why they were divorced or why they were going to get divorced or why their relationship is on the rocks is, I don't love him anymore or her anymore. Or, God doesn't expect me to be unhappy. But we see that here, you know, when you're thinking about an arranged marriage, love is something that's learned. It's a choice. The love that is talked about in the Bible, which is an agape love, which is seeking the best interest of the other party. In Ephesians 5, we can read the responsibilities associated with marriage. To the wives, to the husbands. And in these passages, and we won't go through the other passages for sake of time tonight, but there's a number of passages that talks about the responsibilities of husband and wife. And, you know, there's not conditions. This is not a conditional command on responsibilities. This is what the wives are to do. This is what the husbands are to do. And it's not if they respond in kind. You know, if the wife does this, then I'll fulfill my duties. This is our responsibility to do regardless. Right? God desires that we are happy, that we are to be a happy people, that we're to rejoice. But our happiness is to be in the Lord and in serving Him. All too often, I think we forget that we are pilgrims in this land. And we talked about in our class about how it's not about this life. It's about getting to heaven. So our service is to one another and to the Lord. And I think we forget that sometimes. I know, especially in the rat race, working day to day, it's easy to forget that our job here is to gain eternity with the Father in heaven. And that's our goal as Christians, is to gain eternity in heaven. Again, in a perfect world, both parties, completely selfless, happiness will exist. And that's the goal. That's what we strive to do. And we need to think about that in every one of our relationships, especially in our marital relationships. You might say that a healthy relationship is a give-and-take relationship, and I'd agree it's a give-and-take relationship, that it's 50-50. Well, let me suggest that it's 100-0 from my perspective. Standing on my side of it, it's 100-0. 100% selflessness, 0% required in return. Now you see, if that's the case with both parties, what do you end up with? 100-100. Because both are striving for the same goal, and you're working together. In conclusion, not quite, I have one more thing I want to share with you. But in conclusion, we need to be like Christ and exhibit selflessness in all aspects of our lives. Let's examine ourselves and determine to display a selfless attitude every day in all of our relationships. And I'll challenge you to think about that every time you say, I think, or I want, or I this or that. Not that we shouldn't have our opinions and share our opinions. That's part of being selfless too. We're sharing our ideas. However, we need to make sure that our attitude, our motives are right when we say that. And I'd like to challenge each of us to think about that more and more as we, through the year, think about service towards one another.